All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. Welcome to Straight from His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.
Dear Father, thank you for your love, your mercy, grace, your compassion. We thank you for the love of your Son, Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. We thank you for the gift of eternal life. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We thank you, Father, that we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Today, Lord, we offer this sacrifice of praise. Lord, you're worthy of all praise, you're worthy of all glory, and you're worthy of all honor. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you. We glorify your name, Lord, because you're great and you're greatly to be praised. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your abundant mercy. I thank you for your grace, O God. Lord, I love you today. And I praise and I worship you, Lord. I thank you for life. I thank you for health. I thank you for strength. I thank you for blessing the people in the body of Christ, Lord God. I thank you for sending revival. I thank you for sending healing. I thank you for sending deliverance in the name of Yeshua. I thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit that was sent to us to be our ally and our advocate. We thank you, Lord God, for your healing power flowing, driving out the spirit of sickness, disease, and infirmity in the name of Yeshua. We thank you for breaking yokes and bringing down the strongholds that are hindering people from walking in a covenant relationship with you. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your mighty angels, your warring angels, to push back the forces of darkness that the glory of the Lord might be revealed. We thank you for binding the strong men over this region, over this area. We thank you for toppling the thrones in the name of Yeshua. We thank you for your people being delivered and set free from mind control, rebellion, disobedience, and the spirit of witchcraft and the spirit of perversion being broken in Yeshua's mighty name. Lord, I thank you for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, God. I thank you for sending refreshing, God. I thank you for sending healing, God. I thank you for sending deliverance. I thank you, Lord God, for moving on the hearts of the pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and apostles to begin to declare the full counsel of God's word. Those that are ready to give up, God, I pray that you will send a word of refreshing to your people in the body of Christ that are tired, that have been going through trials and tribulations. Father God, I pray that it would come to an end, that the manifestation of the blessings will begin to manifest and operate in their lives, that they will begin to walk in joy, liberty, and peace in the name of Yeshua. I thank you, Lord God, for healing and driving out every lung disorder in the name of Yeshua. God, I thank you for granting the healing in Yeshua's mighty name. I thank you for healing asthma. I thank you for asthma being healed right now in the name of Yeshua. I thank you for that person who's been suffering with those ear infections, that they are healed in the name of Yeshua. Those that have been diagnosed with glaucoma, I come against the spirit of glaucoma, and I command it to come out of their eyes, that their vision will be restored in the name of Yeshua. You are a God of miracles, and God, may people begin to experience miracles in their lives. God, may you begin to do the impossible in people's lives, and may they begin to see the manifestation of your power and your glory. Lord, may they be drawn to you, Lord, releasing a mantle of prayer and intercession over the body of Christ. I pray, Lord God, that you release the anointing of intercession and prayer and worship. May people be driving in their cars and may begin to just to worship you, Lord God. They begin to thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. They become thankful and grateful for what you've done for them. Lord, I thank you for doing it. Lord, I thank you for setting in order things that need to be set in order. And we decree that your miracles will manifest. Financial miracles, bills being paid for, rent being paid for, people who couldn't even qualify a house or put into a house because of your divine favor in the name of Yeshua. And God, I thank you for doing it. God, I thank you for sending revival to the body of Christ. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for removing these corrupt politicians and placing in place those that would have a government according to your word and your will in Yeshua's mighty name. And God, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as the Bible commands us to do so. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity in thy palaces. Protect your people and your servants over there, Lord God. May they begin to reap a harvest of souls that they didn't even expect to reap in Yeshua's mighty name. And Lord, I thank you. Father, I ask that your blessing will be upon this teaching today. And I vow to give you all the glory and all the honor in the precious and the mighty name of Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Welcome to Straight from His Word. It's a blessing to be with you once again to share the Word of God. Truly, we serve a mighty God. God is good and his mercy endure forever. God is great, and his mercy endure forever. I'm grateful and thankful. To the first-time listeners, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Straight From His Word. I'm not the typical radio preacher. I give it to you straight with no sugar added. Saints, we're living in the last days. We're living in perilous times. The return of Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, is imminent. You're going to hear me say it over and over again. We have to press our way into being in a relationship with him, that we have a desire to serve him, to know him. Saints, we got to get in that place. We have to press our way in and say, God, I need more of you in my life. Lord, I want to be that yielded and surrendered vessel that you can use in this season, in this hour, Lord. Use me, God. Use me for your glory. Use me, Lord, for your honor. And we just got to get to that place, saints. We say, Lord, I want to use you. I want you to use me. Lord, I want to make a difference in society today. Lord, how can I be an impact? How can I be a blessing to you today, Lord? Through my word, through my testimony, through my work ethic. God, how can I do it? How can I do it? Yeah. Saints, we're in this series, The Temptation. And we've been talking about equipping you and how the enemy entices, and recognizing that once we're able to identify his strategies and how he works and how he operates, we are ahead of the game. We're about two or three moves ahead of him. You've heard me say this, that we need to do a better job of equipping the saints in the body of Christ. We've not done it because we've been preached a man-centered gospel instead of a Christ-centered gospel. So we need to do better. We need to get to the place where we say, God, for you I live, for you I die. And that we are so yielded and surrendered to his lordship that we will walk in victory and peace when the devil shows up. That when the devil shows up and begins to act up, we can tell him no. We can respond with the word of the Lord. You know, we've been in Matthew, and the Holy Spirit has just been taking us. I hope you're getting something for this series. You know, some of you might be new listeners to the series, but we're talking about the temptation, how the enemy comes to entice us to rebel and to disobey God, and how Jesus went through the temptation in the wilderness, and how Jesus undid what Adam did in the garden by resisting this Satan and using the word of God as his sword, as his weapon to repel the enemy. We got to get to the place that we pull that sword out and begin to use it and get versed in the word of God. We're talking about the spiritual warfare and how it manifests, and how it manifests. There are spiritual things that are happening and being released in the spiritual realm. And then eventually it manifests and it comes into the spiritual realm, and then we're able to discern and recognize. So what we need to do, that when things begin to manifest in the natural realm, we got to go before the Lord and say, okay, Lord, what's going on? Excuse me, Lord, you're allowing this? So God, what do I need to do to fix it? What is my role? How do I pray? How do I praise? How do I worship? Lord, how do I engage this attack that's coming from the kingdom of darkness? What is my place? What is my role? We talked about in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And he said that we have to put on the whole armor of God, and we have to be able to stand. And having done all to stand, we still stand in the power of his might, not in our strength. You've heard me say this over again. All of the problems and things that we're seeing manifesting are spiritual problems, and we're trying to solve them by passing legislation. You cannot legislate evil. Well, we'll just pass this law and we'll just do this. You cannot legislate evil. Jesus, help us. Here we go. When the enemy shows up, we got to get to recognize. And once we recognize, oh, this is a demonic attack. And I tell people this. A lot of times when you have sickness and disease, and all of a sudden you go to a doctor, and the doctor says, we don't know what it is. It's demonic. Because when the doctors can't identify what it is, it's probably a demonic attack. And then we have authority to pray for the sick, pray for ourselves in the name of Yeshua. Say, I don't know whatever it is. I command you to come out of me. I command you to leave me in Yeshua's name. Why? Because I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And by his stripes, I am healed. Because the enemy comes to sow seed of doubt and say, well, God ain't healing folk no more. It ain't happening. You see, there's a spirit of hindrance and there's a spirit of delay to where that thing goes into overdrive. Because if God has promises in his word that he will supply all of our needs, then he will. If God is giving you a word of prophecy or use a scripture in his word and it's not happened, then the spirit of delay or hindrance is at work. We have to hold on to God's promise and do not allow the devil to steal it and to take it away from us. You heard me say, and go with me, we're in Job chapter 1. Things happen in the spiritual realm first, then it spills out into the natural realm. And so we got to step back, have a biblical worldview, and say, what's going on? What's taking place in my life? Why is this happening? Why is this occurring? There's multiple reasons, multiple factors. But when you are equipped accordingly, you are then able to discern and recognize what is going on. We hear in Job chapter 1. I love reading about Job. And I didn't like it when I went through my Job periods. I went through several Job periods. But when you read, God put this in the Bible for a reason, a purpose. One is to encourage us and to give us understanding of how things are happening and why they are happening. And then he's equipped us in his word to speak the word of the Lord and use his word as a sword of truth to repel the enemy. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect, upright, and one that feared God, and he hated evil. Okay. What a reputation. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. You're going to hear me say, keep praying for your children. Pray for your babies. They're not babies anymore. Sometimes we refer, I still refer to my kids as my babies, but they're grown. They're of age. You know, they're my kids. They're precious to me, and I love them. Pray for your grandkids. They were adults, but Job still offered prayers and intercession for them. And I want you to get this, and I'm going to say this until it becomes real to us. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. The God of the universe, the God that we serve, is the one seated on the throne. Satan, Lucifer, Haleo, which is what it is in Hebrew, has to give an account to Father God, your heavenly Father. And when God calls him on the carpet, he has to answer and he has to respond. And God is always multiple steps ahead of what Satan is going to try to do. And the Lord said unto Satan, where are you coming from? Look who's having the answer to who. I love this. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, I'm going from to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and hateth evil? So God already knew who he was looking at. God knows when Satan has an attack to come to attack you. And he said, God already knows. Nothing takes God by surprise, saints. And God doesn't sit up there and be wrangling his hands and, oh my God, what am I going to do? God sit back. God is cool. I'm not trying to be, you know, offensive or disrespectful. The God of the Bible has a serious personality, and he doesn't let anything trouble him. He gets grieved by our actions and our behavior. He's grieved by the suffering and the things that are happening, taking place because of the sinful rebellion that is in the evil that is in men's hearts. But when it comes to a challenge, God probably sits back and says, really? So Satan was like, oh God, he knows that I want Job. And Satan had a reply. And Satan answered the Lord. I said, does Job fear God for not? Have you not got a hedge around here? That word hedge means a restraint. In other words, a restraining order. So when God issues a restraining order, the enemy can't touch you. Can't touch it. Have you not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increasing the land. And you heard me say this last week. Satan has your resume. He has a dossier on you. He has a file on your generational family line. He knows every sin, everything that's been committed. His minions have all that information. Those familiar spirits, they know all about you. And he has a strategy to attack each and every area of your weakness and of your family bloodline. Excuse me. He said, I can't touch him because of this restraining order that is against me. But put forth now thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee. You've heard me say, Satan's enticement is to break your fellowship with Father God. His motive is to get you to doubt God, to go into unbelief, and then rebellion and disobedience. A lot of people, when bad stuff begins to happen, they get angry at God. They don't get angry at the devil. They get angry at God, and they be saying, God, how did you lie to God? Why did you do this? Why did you take my son? God didn't take your son. Satan was behind that. God, why did you take my spouse? Mm-mm. We live in a fallen world, and Satan is the god of this world. And we get angry at God. And, you know, my heart goes out to parents that have lost children, young children. Man, the grief and the suffering. And then one of the things that Satan has planted in the minds of people, people are turning around and say, how could a loving God allow this to happen? It's the evil in the heart of men and women that causes the suffering of other human beings. There is so much that God delivers us from that we don't even recognize. There is so much generational sins and curses, legal rights that the enemy has because of generational sins and curses that are in place that have not been broken, that have not been renounced. When we see a lot of the suffering and the tragedies. But Satan put forth a request. He has to ask for permission. Put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, okay, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. He said, okay, you got access, but you can't touch him. Oh, God. I be praying, Lord, let this hedge of protection that you place around gold be around my children and my grandchildren. I don't even think I play it around myself enough. I think I need to start doing that. Remember I told you, spiritual warfare. Spiritual first. Then the manifest in the natural realm. And there was a day. It said, and Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in the elder's brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain thy servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and thy servants, and consume them, and I only am alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, said, the Chaldeans made out three bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and also slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am alone, escaped to tell you. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, thy sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am alone, escaped alone, to tell you. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground, and he worshiped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Behold, blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Everything that Satan had his eye on was Job. That's what he attacked. He went forth and began to take away everything that Job had, his wealth, his servants. And then the final blow was the death of all of his children. One call after another, like the phone was just ringing off the hook. Because Job's objective was to make it so difficult that Job would renounce God, that he would curse God, that he would get so angry that he would say, I don't want to serve this God anymore. Why am I even bothering praying and seeking God's face when God has allowed all of this hardship and all of this suffering to come into my life? Why? And a lot of people fall into that place. Many people, one of the reasons they've not been delivered, because they've gotten angry. They've never dealt with their anger against God by all of the hardship and things that happened, whether they were molested or raped at a young age or something. They experienced some type of terrible trauma. And they're angry at God. And I beseech you today, if you are angry at God for what you experienced as a child, as a young adult, even as an older adult, repent. Ask God to forgive you for holding that anger, and you will be delivered and set free. And watch what doors begin to open. We hold this into our hearts. Job had the mindset and the heart attitude, with no Bible, to bow down, to worship in the midst of all of this suffering, all of this heartache, all of this loss. He was able to bow down and worship. Now understand this fact. We have the blood of Yeshua. Our sins have been forgiven. God loved us enough to send his son to pay the price, to pay the penalty, so that we would live and not die. God loves you. And he loves you through your trials. He loves you through your tribulation. God says, I will be with you in the midst of the fire. God says, and I will deliver you. But when you have surrendered your heart to the Lordship of Jesus, the Messiah, and God the Father, God will deliver you and bring you out. And you will be able to tell the devil, no matter what you do, I'm still going to serve my God, my Savior. Saints, be praying for me at Straight Word Christian Ministries. I need your prayers and your financial support. If the Spirit of God moves you and blesses us financially, please be obedient to the Spirit of God. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem as the Bible commands us to do so. Know that Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, is Lord, return imminent. Pray for your families, your loved ones, that their hearts be open to receive the gospel. I love you. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to Straight From His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle. If you'd like to contact Pastor Dermothy or send him a gift of support, the address is Straight Word Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. That's P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. Or you can call 253-431-7375. Again, 253-431-7375. On the web, it's straightwordministries.com. That's straightwordministries.com. Tune in again for more Straight From His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.